Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Today I want to continue in our series entitled, We Are. And we're looking at why we exist as a church, why God has called us or why he's brought us together, you know, why we're here. Every so often, like I've been saying, it's good to check the map, especially when our destination is heaven. It's good to make sure we're on track. And so that's what we're doing. God said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, he said, you're working hard, and they were. They were working very hard, doing all kinds of things. They were enduring hardship. They were pushing forward, and they were very busy. The Lord even commended them that they hated evil, but here's what he said. You've lost or left your first love. And so what he said was, go back and do the things you first did. Isn't that interesting? A lot of people say, I don't know how I got here. Well, there was a decision that you made that started you off onto the wrong track. So how do I get back there? You start reversing. And you're going to end up at that very same place, and you take the left, not the right. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go straight, or you stop for a while. And so even as a church family, we can get off on doing good things, but not necessarily God things or what God has called us to do. And so he said, what you need to do is repent and just go back and do the things that you first did. And so we want to make sure that we know why we are, that what we're doing is right, that we're on the right track, we're headed in the right place. And so the foundation for literally everything is Jesus Christ. We are because of Jesus Christ. Romans 11:36, everything comes from the Lord. All things were made because of him and will return to him. And then Ephesians 2, we've looked at that. The Bible says we are God's workmanship and we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So he's the reason we exist. He's the reason we have purpose. He's the reason that we have hope. Amen. He's the reason that we can continue to push on and to push through this life. And so the bottom line is that if you take Jesus away, then we literally have nothing, including life itself. Our next breath depends upon him saying yes. Some people don't understand that, but it's the truth. Our very life itself depends upon Jesus. Amen. And so also we've been looking at this. Because of Jesus, we're family. And so because we're family, we're committed, first of all, to get along. Let's just all get along, right? I mean, we're on the journey together, so we might as well get along. We're on this journey together, so we might as well work together. And today what I want to look at is we're family, so let's make room. We're family, so let's make room. What do I mean by that? Well, let me start by giving you this simple story. Back in December of 1985, we found out that Jill was pregnant and that in just about 9 months that Kelly was going to make her appearance. And when we found that information out, what was interesting is that our mindset began to change and how we begin to look at things just a little bit different. It began to shift because Kelly was on her way, and what we needed to do was we needed to make room for her, because we're going to be added to here just right quickly. Amen. We need to make room in our home. We need to make room in our time. Sometimes you don't think about it this way, but you have to make room in your emotions. You have to make room in your budget. That's usually the first thing we hit. We have to make room in our future for this addition. And we can go on and on, but the bottom line is that we have to make room in every area of our lives. And if you ever had a child, then you know what I'm talking about. Your thinking changes, your attitude changes, your pursuits change. Instead of buying a motorcycle, you buy a minivan. Instead of getting a one-bedroom loft, You get a two-bedroom apartment. I mean, instead of going out every night, you stay in and you start saving for diapers and formula and baby clothes and car seats and doctor's visits and college and so on. I mean, all of a sudden you begin to realize that your world is bigger than you and that it doesn't revolve just around you. I realize in the earth that some parents don't get that and they still continue, and we've seen the damage that's caused by that. But I'm grateful to the Lord that He can fix anything. The darkest of hole He can fix. Hallelujah. His arm is not too short that He can't reach down. And if we'll just cooperate with Him, my God can fix anything. Hallelujah. And so we begin to understand that yes, we're a part of our world, but we're not all of it. And so for Jill and I, we needed to make room because ready or not, here she comes. For us as a church, we know that it's God's will for us to be fruitful. We know that it is God's will for us to grow. And not only is it His word, but it's been prophesied over us. And some of you have been here for a while and you know those prophecies. You were here in service. You were here during those times when those prophecies came forth. And several of them have mentioned that the foundation has been laid and that there's systems that are in place and that God wants this house to be full and to be flourishing. And I believe that we're entering into another opportunity of harvest for the kingdom of God. And in this season of opportunity, I believe that God wants to add to us, but only if we as a family will make room. I want us to hear this, and I want us to take this deep, and I want you to meditate upon this and chew on this week and ask the Holy Spirit, what does He mean by a season of opportunity? What does He mean by we have to make room? Help me understand that, Father. Because I believe that God will add to us, but we've got to do our part. Is that scriptural? It's all through scripture. Amen. I'll do this if you do that. I'm thinking real quick here of the when He's talking to Israel, and He said that if you'll not forget me, and if you'll listen to my commands, then you'll be the head and not the tail. That you'll eat from gardens that you didn't plan, and you'll live in houses that you didn't build, but only if. It's all through scripture. So for us, we're coming into a season of opportunity in which God wants to add to us. But what we have to do is our part. We have to make room, like the Shunammite woman in the Old Testament. Do you remember her? She went to her husband and she said, we need to add room for the prophet of God. And when she did, her home was added to. It was increased. And so I'm asking each one of you today, as a family, to help me to take advantage of this opportunity that I believe God is giving us, and help make room in this house for the harvest of the Lord that is upon us. Well, what does that look like? That's a great question. Let's get into it. Galatians 2, are you there? All right, it's in the right-hand side of your Bible, somewhere around the other shuns, Colossians, Ephesians. Galatians 2, Paul has gone to Jerusalem under the direction of the Lord. And he's taking along with him Barnabas and Titus. And he's met privately with the leaders of the church, the apostles, and so on, to share with them the call of God that's on his life and what he's been preaching. And what's interesting is that he did so because he says himself, as he writes, he said that he wanted to make sure that he was on track, that he was not running his race in vain. Just like we're doing right now, we're making sure, we're checking the map, we're making sure that we're stewarding God's blessing well. So in verse 6, Galatians chapter 2, we pick the story up. And here's what he said, the leaders of the church had nothing new to add to what I was preaching. But instead they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he'd given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews, also was working through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, they were big shots, didn't get any bigger than those three, right? Amen. Okay, just we need to make sure because we understand the context of what's going on here. They were known as pillars of the church, and they recognized the gift of God given to me. And they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. And they encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles. Now, what we have to remember is that this was a very important meeting for Paul, because even though God had a calling on his life and God had given him a tremendous revelation, this meeting could have gone south really fast. I mean, they could have rejected Paul, and they could have publicly denounced him, and they could have given him trouble after trouble and turned him away. But notice what they did. They did not turn him away, but they made room for Paul. Think about it for just a moment. They made room for him. How did they do that? Well, in verse 2, Paul said this. He said, I went in response to a revelation, and I set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles, but I spoke privately to those recognized leaders. So the apostles, remember, they had a lot to do. There was a lot that was going on. I mean, the church was growing fast. I mean, things were really happening. And so churches needed to be established, and pastors needed to be trained and installed. People needed to be ministered to. The worst thing that we can do is get somebody into the family of God and then leave them on their own. I'm talking about the leave them on their own part is the worst thing we could do. Because some of you are looking at me like, what? You don't ever leave a baby alone to themselves. I'm going to work. I'll be back at 6. Have fun. You just don't do that, right? So people needed to be ministered to. You know what? Not only that, but they had a feeding program going on that was so big that they needed 7 full-time men just to manage it. Not to mention immense persecution that they was facing literally every day. I mean, a lot was going on. And yet they made room for Paul by giving him their time. For you and I as a family, if we're going to make room for what the Lord wants to do in this house, then we need to give people our time. Those people that God brings along our path, we've got to give them some time. Why should we do that? The reason is clear and it's simple. When you give your time, you give opportunity for God to work. When you stop and give time to someone, you're giving the Lord opportunity to work through you, to be a blessing to them. And so we have to give them our time. Most today would take the position that they only have so much time in their day. And they would say that because of that, I really don't have any time to spare. Has anybody ever told you that, or have you ever said that to somebody? Man, I just don't have time to get to that today. And it's because we only have so much time. But I would like to make this very same argument. I only have so much time, but what I'd like to do is change the premise. And I'd like to help us to understand that it's because we only have so much time that we need to steward it well. Because during this time that we spend on earth is the time when everyone, regardless of race, regardless of their station in life, regardless of who they are or what they have, they're going to make the decisions that will determine where they spend eternity, either heaven or hell. And so that makes this time of utmost importance. James 5:20 says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save that soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's why Proverbs, I believe it is, says that he who wins souls is wise. Because you know, or at least we think we know, how terrible hell is and how wonderful heaven is. But I don't think we can comprehend the true extent of both those places. And yet everybody that has ever been in the earth and ever will is going to end up in one of those places because of the decisions they make during this time. So I believe there's no greater way to invest that time than to help somebody make it to heaven. So if you're one who never seems to have enough time in your day for everything, then I'd like to give you a simple scripture, some truth in the word to help you. Proverbs 3:6, write this down. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Who is he talking about? Of course, he's talking about God. That if you'll stop in your day and acknowledge him, here's what will happen. then he, there again speaking of God, will make your path straight. Now, they say that the quickest way from point A to point B is a straight line. Curves and detours add to your journey, which subtract from your time. I got a question for you. Have you ever lost something and searched for what seems to be hours and hours, only to stop in one moment and pray and ask the Lord to help you, and in literally the next few moments you find what you've been looking for what would seem like hours and hours? Have you ever experienced that before? How about this? Have you ever been in a place where you're struggling with a decision? You have no idea what you have to do. You're trying to figure things out. And so you spend, it seems to consume your time, and you possibly could even go for days and days trying to figure out how to take care of this situation. And then you get this idea, maybe I should ask God about it. And in that moment, you stop. And you acknowledge him, and you pray, and you ask for help. And then the next thing you know, the answer comes quickly and clearly. Well, why does that happen? It happens because the God that we serve knows everything. He sees everything. Nothing literally is withheld from him. Do you know that every decision that you'll ever make, God knows the outcome of it, whether you make that decision or not? Every possibility is open to him. Something may be lost to you, but he knows exactly where it is. You may not know which direction to go, but he does. You may be struggling in a certain area, not sure how to take care of it, but he does. Nothing ever surprises God. And so when you ask him, he helps us, or he gives us, if you will, when we acknowledge him, the most effective way to accomplish whatever that task may be. What happens? We save time. If you're struggling with time, try this simple prayer every morning and then throughout your day. And just try it for the next 30 days and see what happens. Lord, I want to make room in my life to be able to minister to someone. So I'm going to stand on that Proverbs 3:6 the pastor was talking about. And I ask you to order my steps today. And then what do? Listen. Just listen. Secondly, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And in fact, James, Peter, and John, who were the pillars of the church, recognized the gift that God had given me. So as they spent time with Paul, they begin to recognize the call of God, the gift of God that was on him. And so if we're going to make room for this season of opportunity where God wants to add to us, then we need to recognize people's gifts. We need to recognize their gift. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I realize that he's speaking to the church. This is the church at Ephesus. I understand that. But what we need to get is that there's a principle that applies universally. What do I mean by that? Simply this, that God knew beforehand or before anybody was ever born what his will was for that person. He also not only knew what his will was, but he prepared beforehand the abilities or those gifts that they would need to accomplish that will, those good works that he would lay out before them. So he prepared a will, but he also equipped during that time. Everything was there. The preparations have been made. And we see this in the earth today. One of the things that I enjoy watching is whether it's a chef, Or it's someone that works with wood, or somebody that welds. It doesn't matter what it is. I enjoy watching somebody work using their gifts. It's, to me, inspiring. That gift is given to them by God. Now, whether they're using it for his purposes or not, it doesn't matter. The gift is from God. There again, God knew what his will was for them, and so he prepared them for that will. That's the principle. And that's the way it is with everybody. That's just the way it is, that people who are gifted in specific areas. They excel in those other areas, whether they're in the family or not. But those gifts are from God. And so what happens is that when they receive Christ as Savior, then all of a sudden their understanding begins to be opened to what His will is for them. And now the pieces begin to fit together and things come more into focus. Oh, I understand why I'm good at this, or why I'm gifted in this, or why so on, so on. They begin to understand what's going on. And when that happens, they begin to operate in those gifts in God's will, and their full potential is reached. So not only do they have the gift, but they're operating it in God's will. That's where you and I come into the picture. So when we're talking about bringing people to life in Christ, this is part of what we're talking about, is helping people reach their full potential. In other words, helping them to find God's will. Why am I here? Helping them to find out that those talents that they have are for a reason. What we have to do is recognize people's gifts. So how do I do that? Well, there again, one of the foundational things is this time. It can be 30 seconds. What I need you to understand is that the length of time isn't as important as what you do in that time. When you're open to the Lord in those areas and you say, okay, this time I sense that this, remember we talked about divine appointments, and I sense that, okay, Lord, you want to do something here. So you become aware in the spirit of certain things that's going on. And so literally in 30 seconds, He can show you someone's gift, or it may take some time as you build relationships and you begin to see the gift of God that is on them. But the idea is that as you give time, then during that time, you can find out what's going on with them and find out, recognizing their gifts by asking two simple questions. What are they good at? And how can they use that for Jesus? What are they good at? What are the things that you see them excel in? That's from God. Okay, so how can we plug that into God's will? What does God want you to use that for? These two questions reveal their potential and their place in the family. And then when that happens, it's just a matter of walking it out with them and helping them, standing with them, praying with them. But it starts by recognizing the gift. So let's continue. Verse 9. James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, they recognized the gift that God had given me. They could stop there. There again. They can stop there. How many times? I'm not going to ask you how many times that's happened where you've recognized someone's gift and then you just kept on walking. Now, the reason I'm going to dig in this morning is because we're talking about making room. Talking about making room in our lives, in our emotions, in our budget, in our future, inside the house, outside of the house. Making room for people that God wants to add to us. So that's why we're going to get into this. So they could have stopped at recognizing the gift, but they didn't notice this. They accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. So when we make room, when we're talking about making room for the Lord to add to us, then what we need to do is we need to accept people. We need to accept them. There again, we're taking it to just a little bit deeper of a step now. I don't know if you remember or not, but there's an interaction between Jesus and some of these very same leaders that Paul is meeting with in our text. And in Mark chapter 9 and verse 38, John came to Jesus, and notice what he says, Mark 9 and 38. Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told them to stop because he wasn't in our group. Now look at what Jesus responded to him. This is very interesting. Verse 39, don't stop him. That's pretty plain, right? Don't stop him. Jesus said, anyone who is not against us is for us. I understand that he's talking there again about somebody who is in the family, but there again, the principle is the same. Because we as a church family, we can get so used to certain routines and stuff. We develop this core group of people that's used to the same crowd, used to the same songs, used to the same chairs every Sunday. They're used to giving the same amount in the offering if they give anything at all. I mean, you could write one bulletin in January and it would fit every service for the whole year because nothing ever changes. No room for change. No room for anything else. How in the world does that happen? Well, I'll tell you what happens. This happens because we get to a place where we just stop making room in our lives for something else. Why is it that Jesus was found with, they call them publicans and sinners? Why were they drawn to him? You'll find scripture that says that they were actually drawn to him. I mean, they were polar opposites. And he never one time excused anything that they were doing. And there were even times where he hit it head on and hit it pretty strong. But why were they drawn to him? Because he made room for them in his life. Understand this, please. We're talking about making room in our lives for at times things that aren't comfortable. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the last thing I wanted to do was get up and help feed Kelly and change her diaper. But we had to make room in our lives for this addition because it was God's will. So you get so used to the same size room. And what happens is this creates this mentality of us four and no more. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, it's us four and no more. And when that happens, all of a sudden, that mentality sets a tempo for our worship. It sets a tempo for our giving. It sets a tempo for what we're going to actually receive from the message today. It sets a tempo for how we deal with people throughout our week. It automatically sets a tempo in our lives that becomes so rigid we have no room in our lives for anybody else. Let's just keep it the way it is. But how does this us four no more mentality line up with Scripture? Listen to this. 2 Peter 3:9 declares this. The Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to repent. 1 Timothy 2:1 declares this. I urge you, first of all, pray for everybody. Ask the Lord to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand truth. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And then if that's not enough, look at Jesus' own words in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever will. Doesn't exclude people. It just gives opportunity. And that's what the Lord's asking us today. We have an opportunity to be added to, but are we going to make the room for that to happen? So when Jesus was faced with this mindset of us four no more, he said plain and simple, stop it. This isn't God's plan. You see, though the disciples maybe didn't quite understand it at that time, Jesus knew full well that in his house, there was room for everybody. I love that song that we sing. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Everyone should have the opportunity to know that. So what we have to do is we have to decide this. Is this his house or is this our house? If it's our house, then no problem. Let's just keep on keeping on. But if it's his house, then what we've got to do is we've got to honestly evaluate our hearts and the things that we're doing and see if we're stewarding our resources in a way that makes room. If we're not, then we need to repent and go back to our first love and start again. What's interesting to me is that by the time Paul comes along and he meets with these apostles, something has changed. Their mindset has changed from us four no more to if we don't get help, we're not going to get this done. They knew that if they was going to accomplish God's will, then it was vital for them to make room. So they made room for Paul by giving of their time. They recognized his gift. They accepted him into the family. Finally, today, look at the second part of verse 9. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles. So notice this, they encouraged me. And if anybody needed encouragement, it was Paul. I mean, do you remember his encounter with Jesus? He was struck blind. I mean, that's how his ministry started out. And then check this out. And then the Lord sent this fellow by the name of Ananias to minister to him. And look at what the Lord told Ananias to tell him. Acts 9 and 15, go and tell him this. I need to show him how much he must suffer for my name. I mean, this fellow needed some encouragement. They could have said, not going to mess with it. We don't need the trouble. We've heard about this fella. Yeah, we don't want to mess. We're not. No, hey, I'm. Not, have you ever heard somebody? I'm not touching that. Oh, that's way too messy for me. Of course it is. But it's not just us. Who do we represent? Do we represent a weak God who can't do much, who's sitting on a park bench trying to figure out whether he's sitting down or needs to go eat lunch? Jill and I was headed out last night, and as we're driving, there's this huge rainbow that appeared in the heavens. And I thought to myself, surely if he can do that, he can care for me. Amen. So it's not just us, it's God. And so they encouraged him. So as a family, we need to make room for the Lord to add to us. And how do we do that? We do that when we encourage them. When we encourage people, it makes a difference. Now, some people have a funny way of encouraging others. And like you, I've had my share of that type of encouragement. So just to be clear, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get us all on the same page to know what I'm talking about this morning. Encouragement means the act of giving support, confidence, or hope to someone. Last week, when Kurt got up and he read from Ephesians 4, and let me read it to you what it says, Ephesians 4 and 8, God gave gifts to men, and then he tells us what they are in 11, apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he looked at Jill and I. Here's what he said. You are gifts to this church. You'll never know what that meant to me in that moment. Those six words has been what's given me the strength to get to this Sunday. And I'm not exaggerating in the slightest bit. Let remind each one of us today to never underestimate the power of life and death that rest in your tongue. It's the difference maker more times than you'll ever know. Question. Does your daily speech tear down or does it build up? Is it giving life to someone or is it drawing life from someone? You see, if we're going to make room in this house for what God wants to do among us, then what we've got to do this week, I mean, I'm talking about from now on, is we've got to start giving people our time. We've got to actually stop and let them know, yes, I see you. Yes, you really do matter. We've got to recognize God's gift in them. Because if God saw fit to give them a gift, then he saw fit to give them a place. And so when we recognize that gift, we can't just stop there, but we have to move into the place and we have to help them to get there, which is part of who we are, and accept them. Yes, I understand you're not perfect, but boys, I'm not either. Let's just see what kind of trouble we can get into together. Let's just do the best that we can. Yeah, today we might make it okay. Tomorrow we may need some help, but let's just walk this thing out together. But what we've got to do is we've got to accept people in our family because we need more than just us four. God has created them, and it's his right to place them in the family wherever he has designed. And we've got to be encouragers. We've got to be life speakers. Giving words of support and confidence and hope. You have no idea what that person may be facing right now in the middle of a storm. And one simple word of encouragement could make the difference between them jumping into the family or walking away forever. Is it really that important? I believe it is. There again, don't put pressure on yourself. All you have to do is just, yes, Lord, I'm here. Love God. Love people. Let's stop and take some time. Let's be encouragers.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.